I'm Jared Ball, your host. I want to welcome everybody back to the show. We were just listening to a little bit from a track called Students and Politics from H-Rap Brown and Leon Thomas. The album is called Snicks Rap. Many of the things that they said still relevant. We should be questioning our involvement in all kinds of wars that continue, even under our new president. We are seeing the devolution of an anti-war movement and anti-poverty movement. Movements against police brutality in the prison industrial complex. All of these efforts are suffering in large part because of this image of change that has occurred given our new presidency. And much of this, again, the diminution of these movements is the result of people assuming that Barack Obama and his new administration are going to bring elements or levels of change not previously seen, and actually working quite in the opposite fashion, where we're seeing an extension of wars, an extension of military industrial expansion into Iraq. They're leaving the private contractors there who were in greater number before and now in Iraq than the traditional official military. Of course, extending troop numbers and the money spent, and of course the death toll of people in Afghanistan, bombing people in Pakistan using unmanned drones, played like video games by youngsters in Nevada, as we've heard here on Democracy Now! On a number of occasions on this station in the morning. All these things are continuing. At the same time, we are not seeing an increase in, again, as I said a moment ago, the anti-war movement. So we're joined this afternoon by Netfer Freeman has come in. We were going to have a discussion this afternoon on police brutality and have made a last minute change here. So we hope everyone who is going to be here is well and safe, and we'll look to do that again later. We're going to have a discussion specifically about what's going on in the city. A lot of issues of police brutality happening in the city, and we're going to connect it again not only to what's going on around the country, but to this issue of labor, this being Labor Day. But instead, this also seems to fit. And we were looking at this article, and we're going to invite callers, if you want to join a sort of a midday jazz and justice version of community comment with your thoughts on all that you've heard this afternoon and what we're going to bring up now. Feel free to call 202-588-0893. We'll spend a few minutes on this. 202-588-0893. Looking at a recent article from Fire Dog Lake. FDL, I think it's FDL, or no, firedoglake.com, a piece by James Hampshire called Van Jones, A Moment of Truth for Liberal Institutions in the Veal Pen. And Netfer, you and I were just reading this again offline. I mean, this is a pretty heavy piece. So we were actually planning, in next week, we're going to have a socialist version or view of this green collar economy thing that Van Jones was the proponent of and sort of the administration czar of. And I have a lot of criticisms of that effort. But the right sort of beat us to it in terms of their version of criticizing Van Jones, who over the weekend stepped down, prompting this article from James Hampshire that we're going to talk about in just a moment. But I was raising questions, and Netfer, I'll start with you to ask you what you think about this, that it seemed that this green collar economy move was, you know, fraudulent in the sense that it was, and still is claiming that eco-capitalists, which is a new phrase that has become popular, eco-capitalists, or that is venture capitalist industrialists who are going to now invest in a green economy, were going to transfer and upset the imbalance of wealth and income and fix the inner cities. And Van Jones has been very prominent in this, leading this argument that almost seems to say that we only have poverty and we only have ghettos because we as a nation have been burning fossil fuels as opposed to, you know, a green economy. So I was going to, and we're still going to have this discussion next week, but it seems as though the right has jumped the gun and beat us to the punch of though our goal not necessarily was to get rid of Van Jones from the administration, but to challenge what they were posing. And I hope we don't get a chance to have this public debate. But anyway, I just wanted to get your initial thoughts on this, and then we'll open up the phone lines again and talk about this Jane Hampshire piece just a little bit, or feel free to offer your thoughts, mm-hmm. Netfer Freeman.
Well, It's a lot. It's a heavy topic. I think just the notion that eco-capitalism, that notion, is just absurd on its face. But it's a very interesting thing that you bring up in terms of the right jumping the gun and beating us to the punch in terms of criticizing and raising certain things that really should be obvious to us in terms of their illegitimacy and their just impotence in terms of solutions. I found the Ms. Hampshire's article very interesting in the concept she uses, the veal pen. And I think that veal pen concept, talking about where we talk about you take the calves and you
can we actually read just a segment of what she's written here? I mean, this is pretty deep. I mean, because she's talking about the concept of the veal pen as being where the left has been placed and all
right,
of this. So she quotes here and she says the veal crate is a wooden restraining device that is the veal calf's permanent home. It is so small, 22 inches by 54 inches, that the calves cannot turn around or even lie down and stretch, and is the ultimate in high profit confinement animal agriculture, designed to prevent movement, exercise. The crate does its job of atrophying the calves' muscles, thus producing tender gourmet veal. About 14 weeks after their birth, the calves are slaughtered. The quality of this food, laden with chemicals, lacking in fiber and nutrients, diseased and processed, is another matter. The real issue is the calves' experience. During their brief lives, they never see the sun or touch the earth. They never see or taste the grass. Their anemic bodies crave proper sustenance. Their muscles ache for freedom and exercise. They long for maternal care. They are kept in darkness except to be fed 2 to 3 times a day for 20 minutes, end quote. And this idea, as graphic as it is and painful it is to conceive in terms of an animal, is where she's saying the left has been placed because of Obama's apparent welcoming of progress to the point where progressive organizations, so-called liberal and left-leaning nonprofits, can't get funding. They're afraid to challenge the president. And we see, again, a backward slide of all of these movements that they claim to be involved in.
And in addition to the, you know, wanting to safeguard funding and things like that, they're valuing access, what people call it, a lot of what the media does in terms of wanting to safeguard their ability to have the ear of the administration and to be able to dialogue and engage with the administration, irregardless of whether that dialogue and that engagement, that relationship can yield any benefit for the people.
Right.
And so all of those things, the article is suggesting, serve as the veal pen to which it kind of atrophies and makes null and void any actions.
So let me just bring one more quote from this piece, and then we have the phone lines are filling up quickly. So we want to appreciate that and get to them. Just 1 second. It says here, and so the groups in the D.C. veal pen stay silent. Their leadership gets bought off by cocktail parties at the White House while the interests of their members get sold out. How many have openly pushed back against the administration on Don't Ask, Don't Tell or DOMA? Well, not many. Most tried to satisfy their LGBT members by outsourcing activism to other organizations or proving their bona fides by getting involved in the Prop 8 battle in California that is not directly toxic to the White House. It's a chicken-esque sidestep, I'm glad I caught that betrays their members in the interest of personal gain, which they justify with feeble, self-serving palliatives about the importance of maintaining a seat at the table. It's this very hard-hitting piece here, but what she's doing is she's also relating it to the fact that none of them have come out to defend Van Jones, which is something that, you know, even though I'm a critic of what he was trying to do, I am noticing that the left did not come up and say, hey, man, you know, I know the NAACP and Ben Jealous tried to put a campaign together to protect him and keep him at the White House, but there was not this huge groundswell of saying Van Jones is our guy, he's a longtime activist, or even saying the right, if you have criticism of his radical politics, A, we don't mind those radical politics, so we don't think he should be, or to even support where his own backslide, Van Jones' backslide, is saying, I apologize for the things I said in the past, which I don't think he should have apologized. Yeah. Anyway, let's grab some of these callers. I want to thank them for calling. If you want to join the conversation here on Midday Jazz and Justice on WPFW, before we get back to some music, call 202-588-0893. Caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the air with your comment.
Yes. Good show today. I called because the earlier soundbite that you had featuring, you said H-Rap Brown?
Yes, that was one of them, yes.
Right. It resurrected the thoughts of recruitment at the student, the intellectual cadre level of people that would be involved in movements of various types. namely the New Socialist, New Marxist Party, All African People's Revolutionary Party, Nation of Islam, etc. Can you address the cost and consequence to people with their upward mobility in future endeavors when participating in such movements? Because, and the fact that many of those groups are filled with infiltrants, various types, collect information, FBI informants, etc. At the same time, using the barometer of success as to how well one is able to navigate upwardly based on their education and saturation into the system.
Right. Thank you very much for your call. I will say this. You know, I do, as autobiographical as I tend to try to be publicly, I like to make fun of the fact that I have done everything that society says you're supposed to do. I'm a war veteran. I served this country, and I was sent to war. I have 3 degrees. One of them is a PhD, and others from an Ivy League institution, and I've never made more than $53,000 in a year. Now, if this is a meritocracy, as they claim it is, I should be the poster child for all of this and be doing quite well. But one thing I point to in terms of academia, there is a long-standing struggle of punishment. Right now, we're seeing, right as we speak, there's a backlash against the Black Studies movement happening all around the country. Afrocentricity as a wing of thought is being exterminated. Black Power Studies, so to speak, are being co-opted, if not abandoned altogether. There is Michael Parenti, years ago, wrote a great piece about what this, how this has been carried out against mostly the white progressive left and communists and socialists. He has a book called Agents of Empire, where there's a segment in there talking specifically about the backlash against white professors. Norman Finkelstein in today's world has been removed. Colleagues at his former university that supported his positions against Zionist aggression have been themselves removed. So there is this ongoing battle, and as we, as you mentioned, as a caller I think was leading us to, H.Rap Brown himself, now Jamil Alameen, is locked away. Many people familiar with his case suggesting that this is, you know, the statute of limitations not running out on his political activism, and he being punished for this in a modern day context. We see that again with the San Francisco 8, their rearrest or reincarceration in the case of at least two of the members who are still in prison for other cases. I mean, so we see this thing. There is a risk you take. I mean, it's just bottom line. There is a risk you take. When I had my little spat with Michael Eric Dyson, one of the things he told my colleague was, I'm trying to protect Dr. Ball from becoming that lone Black radical at Morgan State University, which his point was to say, if, as I understood it, if you don't readdress your public position politically, if you don't reposition yourself politically, publicly, there are consequences, and you don't get the grants, you don't get the high appointments, you might not get tenure. All these other things still occur. So, you know,
and as all of that, as we end up accepting all that, we end up giving up a little of ourselves. There's compromises that come with all of that. I mean, I really believe we can even see it when people talk. I mean, I want to make this related to Obama and what people believe that we've achieved with this, in a sense that when we talk about, when we hold him to a high, to this high standard in terms of the radical things that need to be addressed, people say, well, he'll be killed and things like that. Well, the legacy of our freedom fighters, the one who's really given up the most, you know, the price of freedom was death.
That's right.
So, and to us, what good are you is the fact you have to completely water down your politics to the point that you can't provide us, provide the people or the changes that need to happen. I mean, then it really makes no point to support someone and to protect someone around those issues.
Yeah.
But there was one thing I wanted to, the caller mentioned, I know we're going to get back to calls, in terms of cadre, and I think we really, and it's also related to this with the new nonprofits, because we have to begin to not look at, these are, we're talking about looking to our enemies for solutions when we're looking at Democrats and Republicans and all these, the ruling class, basically. Right. So we need to get back to looking at how do we involve the people and grassroots organizing and movement building and institution building and nation building back into those types of things, because cadre are not also just, they're not just going to come from the college students, but cadre are also these people in the communities who are working to reform gang members and get people off the street and are fighting, you know, housing issues and those kind of things. They're also, there's some genius there and some skills there that we as a revolutionary movement, once we can synthesize all this into one, we're going to need those skills, and those are cadre when they develop those skills. So we have to remember that as well.
Caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the air of WPFW 89.3 FM.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy
Good
Workers'
afternoon.
Day.
Happy Workers' Day
Tribute
to you.
To the working class. Three quick points. First of all, I'd like to remind everyone that International Women's Day comes directly from the working class women's movement and the socialist women's movement. I want to remind everyone of that. I know it's not the month of March, but I want to throw that in.
Always relevant. No.
Two other quick points. I had the wonderful, wonderful opportunity to see a concert this weekend, Michael Franti and Spearhead. Great concert. And if you're talking about truly progressive hip-hop with a lot of reggae and rock and other kind of flavors up in that mix, I hope you will at some point interview Michael Franti on your show, because, as you know, his music and his videos have a lot to say. And I'm really personally disappointed that a brother like this, he and his band has been around for many years, great work, but when it comes to hip-hop, those who get the awards are those who talk about it's hot out here for a pimp. But you got someone like a Michael Franti and Spearhead, who's got a video about HIV and AIDS and being tested for your, to know your status and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't get that kind of media play, so I hope you will interview him on your show in some near future. And last point, I'm very glad to hear that you mentioned Van Jones resigning. My only thing with that was I was not surprised that he resigned. I was only surprised it happened this soon. I was going to give him a year based on the issue of quote-unquote clean coal. President Obama advocates this notion of quote-unquote clean coal.
That's right.
And we all know that Van Jones and the left movement that he comes from in California does not. So it was inevitable that he would have to resign.
That's right.
But I think by him resigning because of the attacks from the right wing, it may have very well given him a cover to resign without having to come up directly to confront President Obama on the issue of clean coal and
That's
some other
point.
Issues. But thank you for bringing up Van Jones.
No, thank you very
and
much.
Please have Michael Franti on your show, because I don't mind telling you, that boy is fine.
We appreciate that kind of substantive analysis. No, that's cool. All the hip hop that we air on this particular program, Midday Jazz and Justice, is progressive and all is all the stuff that is kept out of the mainstream intentionally. And even to speak specifically about Michael Franti, is kept out of spaces he's allowed to occupy, which is the white progressive left. They do deal a lot with Michael Franti as opposed to some of the artists that we try to play, some of whom you'll hear today, like NY Oil and Pharoah Monch and others. They're not included into that little group in the same way. And I want to ask you about this too. Maybe we can bring that up as a segue in a little bit in this next hour of somebody else. K-Non is another artist who was very talented, very progressive, and also welcomed by the white left in ways. And some very interesting, there was a very interesting discussion he had with Amy Goodman a couple weeks ago that I want to bring up with you. That's a good call. We'll use that in just a minute. We'll come back in just a moment right here with more on WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice. Callers, please do hold on. We will bring you back on as we get the next hour started off here. Hour two, Midday Jazz and Justice. Most importantly, this is the liberated masses medium of WPFW 89.3 FM. NetFA, you mentioned grassroots organization and power to the people. This is All Power to the People from Ernest Dawkins. Back in just a moment. Peace. WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice. That's Ernest Dawkins, All Power to the People. And we do, we mean it. All Power to the People. We got speaking of All Power to the People, a number of folks have called in. We're doing our version of, a Labor Day special, Jazz and Justice community comment on issues related to Van Jones, music, a lot of different things. We'll come back with NetFA Freeman in just a moment, where we're going to have this discussion about progressive hip hop and where it gets placed. We're going to work that in. I think it'll fit nicely. Our last caller brought up some many, many good points. So thanks for your patience, caller. Welcome to the air with your community comment on Midday Jazz and Justice on the Liberated Masses Medium of WPFW. Welcome. Okay, caller, welcome to the air with your comment on Midday Jazz and Justice.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the chance to air my opinion. What's going on right now is some sort of a dictatorship and conspiracy going in the name of fighting socialism. And this is, socialism has become a hoax. What I mean by that is the corporations' policies are being promoted through conspiracy. For example, right-wing politicians are conspiring like the former communists. The communists were conspiring everywhere to get their way and to impose their dictators all over the world. Now, the right wing is using the same method, and they are stifling freedom and independence, and they are promoting their interests as if it were right after Napoleon. Communism fall, and after if we take Napoleon like communism, after Napoleon fall, the powers of Western Europe got in the city of Vienna, and they were conspiring. They were imposing their dictatorship. The same is going right now. After communism fall, corporate elite is imposing its will.
All right, and Carla, we're going to have democracy. To wrap you up. I'm going to have to wrap you up there. We have to respect the 60-second timeline. Thank you very much.
Let me just make my final point.
Please, it has to be very quick because you're way over time. Please be very quick.
Okay. Corporations' policies are causing war, ethnic division, and especially in Africa, dictatorships all over the world, like Paul Kagame.
Okay.
Malala Zenawi of
We got
Ethiopia.
You. Thank you very much, Carla. We got the basic gist of your point. Carla, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the Air Midday Jazz and Justice Community Comment. Thanks for your patience.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Carla.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. My name is Taliba. I would like to know why the leader of the Nubian Nation, who's been arrested for a few years, has never been talked about on this station.
I can't answer that question.
Dr. Malachi Z. York?
Yes.
How come no one ever makes mention of him?
I can't answer that question. Thank you for bringing it up.
Okay.
Caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the Air Community Comment, Jazz and Justice style. Welcome.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Caller, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yeah.
Turn down your radio. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. First and foremost, let me say that I am completely... It's unbelievable that Mr. Jones had to resign for what he, you know, called the Republicans, whereas whatever he called them is not as bad as, you know, saying that President Obama is Hitler, he's Stalin, and, you know, calling him all kinds of names, drawing cartoons about his family, himself and his wife. And now he has to resign. Rush Limbaugh has not resigned or given up his post. All the Republicans, including the senators that have called him all kinds of names, none of them... I mean, nobody's even calling for them to resign.
Okay, Carla, go ahead. Hold on one second. Go ahead.
But, Carla, why does Van Jones have to resign? Who is it making him... What is making him resign?
Well, probably the president wants him to resign. Otherwise, okay,
So it's not the Republicans.
He wouldn't qualify for his resignation.
No, thank you very much, Carla.
One more thing, brother.
Please, very quickly. Please.
Brother Ball?
Yes, quickly.
I've been wanting to, in fact, this is the major reason I called. I've been wanting to call you on this for a long time, but sometimes I don't catch you. And when I catch
That's fine, but you have to do it quickly because we're running out of time.
Why, please, why has the Green Party not, said anything? I hope you are really, really organizing your hearts out for the next election. I hope you are really, really organizing, because this is a very good opportunity for you. Republicans are committing suicide as far as
All right,
I'm concerned.
Thank you very much. I think that's a great point about the Green Party, but I think we've touched on it just a little bit already here, that the issue that many of us in the Green Party and other progressive outlets and radical outlets where other places can't build as much as we'd like is the same reason why these more establishment nonprofits that Jane Hampshire is talking about in her piece that we were talking about last hour are themselves incapable of doing it, because the presence of Obama has thrown out so much confusion. To this day, there is so much confusion in the amongst progressives and radicals how to best deal with this. So one friend of mine asked me, how do we respond to what the right did to Van Jones? And my point is, whether it's the Green Party or anything else, is we should have been advocating and defending his principles that he was demonized for as being correct. That mm-hmm. Reverend Wright was demonized, but right. much of what he said, if not all of what he said, is correct. So why right. aren't we on that side of the political spectrum right. standing up for it instead of backpedaling and saying all the things that we continue to say?
And saying things like, yeah. Obama had to divorce himself from him because he wouldn't have been able to become president and all those kind of things. Well, you don't That's need right. to be president if you can't stand up for those kind of things.
That's right. Let's grab one more caller. Thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program with your comment.
Yeah, Reverend Wright, I think Reverend Wright was right, Obama don't want to face up to it, and he got his own half white agenda, and the Black Caucus needs to step up to the plate. We have to find a way to get some bills in without the Black Caucus, because they have they're hypocrites, and they have turned their back for the last 29 years. I've been following them through.
And they'll be here.
I'm with the Nation of Islam.
They'll be here in a couple of weeks, and we can see them in person.
On the station?
No, at their convention. What is it? Weekend of the month, right?
Starts the 24th.
Yeah,
the 24th or 23rd.
So, thank you very much, caller, and I think your points are well taken. Net for Freeman joining me. I'm Jared Ball. This is Midday Jazz and Justice on the Liberated Masses Medium of WPFW 89.3 FM. We're going to take a quick break. And on the other side of that break, we're going to play a couple of tracks that we were going to play in another context that I think now will fit well with this discussion of where do progressives go? Where is radical hip hop or progressive hip hop allowed to be aired? Who is a friend to it and who isn't? And what reasons might that be? And then we'll come back. We have a lot more great music and a lot of stuff coming up. More of your calls if you like as well at 202-588-0893. So this is Midday Jazz and Justice, back in just a minute right here on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag.
For that fateful day, it's not far away, but for now we say,